and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I am Sean.
Woo! Woo-hoo! So, it's August, and it's hot. It's really fucking hot. It's been 90 degrees for like a billion years here.
Global warming ain't real.
I just want the fall. I'm really dying for fall. Yeah, I don't know if you can tell. I'm starting to make hot meals.
Yeah, I noticed that. it's a 90 degree day out, and you're
making a turn on the oven.
you're making hot stew.
I mean, well, yeah. I'm saying
it's good. You know, I'm glad. But I think you're. I could tell you're yearning for the fall. That being said. Maybe in the fall we'll get some more news about stuff.
Like what?
I feel like just nothing really happened.
The New Mutants that's supposed to open.
That's supposed to happen to open next week.
Batfleck's supposed to be in this Flash movie that will never happen.
Yeah, is that what's going on? Is that why Ben Affleck was trending?
Yeah, I guess that's the whole thing, is he's supposed to play Batman in the Flash movie. But everyone knows the Flash movie is never going to be made.
Why are they even trying still? Like, who cares?
I don't know. Are we at this point? Like, 7 years they've been trying to make this Flash movie?
Kinda. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And also, we're already, what, almost 3 years out from...
Justice League? I think that's right.
Yeah. The movie came out at the fall of 2017. Like, I think November or something like that.
Right.
Or it was the summer. I can't remember. But the movie's, you know, that movie's been so far gone. And, like, that's the last time we saw Ezra Miller, I think.
Yeah.
As the Flash. So, I feel like not a lot of people outside of, like, the hardcore DC stands, you know, and hardcore Ezra Miller stands or whatever, don't give a shit.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't really give a shit when that was happening. And they don't give a, they can give a shit. Now, and they're not gonna give a shit later,
right?
So I don't understand why we're still trying to make this happen. You know, I mean, it doesn't. I mean, I mean, great. You want to do a Flash movie? Great. Flash has never had a movie. You know, let's see how it goes. You know, you've already rebooted Batman again.
Right.
You know, you don't know. I mean, The Rock's supposed to be Black Adam at some point.
Yeah, that's another thing that I don't ever see happening.
I mean, The Rock says it's going to happen. Yeah, I don't know.
The Rock says a lot of things.
The Rock, you know what The Rock does say? It does say a lot of things. A lot of people say a lot of things.
A lot of people say a lot of things. I think that is accurate.
And usually nobody does shit about fuck and nobody does fuck about shit.
Mm-hmm, that's accurate.
That's just how it is. Until you actually see it happen. Like, I will not believe that New Mutants is actually a movie until it actually is in the theater.
I just think they should release it to streaming at this point. I really don't understand why we're even... It's the theater of releasing it to the theater. Does that make any sense?
What do you mean?
Like, when you put on, like, if somebody says, oh, this is political theater.
Oh, well, yeah.
So basically, this is theater. It's just a show.
Well, it's going to fucking eat it.
Of course it's going to eat it.
You know why? Because, you know, what's funny is, like, they have this commercial... for that Russell Crowe Sweaty Driver movie.
Oh, that's right.
And they keep adding it. It's
where
like,
he just looks like Steve Bannon.
He does look like Steve Bannon. He looks like Steve Bannon.
Who got arrested today, by the way.
Oh, well, he'll get off.
Yeah, he probably will. But man,
he's already he's out on the streets.
That's satisfying.
Russell Crowe is playing a sweaty, angry driver and was it Unhinged?
I think that's what it's called.
And
yeah.
they're like, the commercials are like, this movie's number one in the country. I'm like, yeah, it's because it's the only fucking movie out.
Literally one person could watch it and it'd be the number one movie in the country.
I mean, shit, you could have put The Room out, re-released The Room.
Yeah, number one movie in the country.
It'll be the number one movie in the fucking country.
Don't give him any ideas. Oh, yeah. As Tommy Wiseau listens to this podcast, as we know.
Yeah, I mean, any movie could be a fucking hit right now. And, like, New Mutants coming out, it's just a very Pyrrhic victory of sorts for them to be like, hey, we finally got this movie. I was like, yeah, but nobody could fucking go see it.
Well, I mean, they could pull the Mulan bullshit and put it on Disney Plus for $30.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why would you?
I don't know. You have to pay your subscription and you have to pay $30 for
Mulan.
Why would
I pay $30 for a movie I was going to pay... less than that, technically, to go see in a theater.
I guess they think...
How did they come to that number?
Well, I don't know how they came to 30, but I guess they think that if you have, you know, kids plus an adult, it's cheaper to buy it. I guess. Why not just
fucking make us rent it like Amazon did for fucking...
Yeah, like $5.
Bloodshot. It was like
$6.
No, if didn't we buy Bloodshot?
Isn't we technically
it,
bought it.
It was only $20, though, which is maybe less. 15.
I don't remember how much it was, but it was.
But it was also one of those things. It's like that's what you'd pay for the Divid or the Blu-ray.
Yeah, that's what you pay for the Blu-ray, anyways. But I mean, but even you probably pay even less for. I mean, that's probably what you would pay for a Blu-ray. But $30, I think, is pretty steep.
I think $30 is a little insane.
And I can't see.
I'm kind of like, can we just watch it on the streaming platform in a couple months? I don't need to see it right away. I can wait.
I don't know. They feel like these people are trying to make these movies count for something.
I'm sure they spent a shit ton of money on Mulan.
Well, yeah, because movies are fucking expensive.
Yeah, so I'm sure they're trying to recoup something. But at the same time, I'm like, $30.
So, yeah, we'll see if we'll see what happens with the movie New Mutants, which...
Hi, Leela.
It's been done for like what? 3-8 years?
Oh, something like that. Like all those actors look so young when you're like, none of them look that way anymore.
Yeah, what's her face? Fucking Maisie Williams is like 20? She's like way older now. And she probably filmed this movie when she was like just got hot from
Game of Thrones,
yep. When she was like supposed to be like 9 or 10. I'd like to see it.
Sure.
You know, it probably won't be worth the wait in any minute.
Oh, no. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be one of those things where it's like, why didn't they just stream this before? Like, why did we wait so long? I told you she's helping. Sean's very upset because Leela's helping us podcast and she's wagging the microphone.
Well, you probably are hearing it. It's okay. And I don't film this in stereo or record this in stereo. Anyways. There's that. I don't know. We watched a bunch of Superman in tribute of We Hate Movies' 500th episode, which they're doing Superman 3 and Superman 4.
Yeah.
And we did see both of those movies fairly recently. Superman 3 actually in theaters.
Yes, we saw Superman 2 and 3 at the New Beverly because they were doing like a Richard Lester thing. And then we watched Superman 4 at home.
Yeah. And those movies suck ass.
Yeah, I think 3 is definitely worse.
3 is definitely worse because 3 is just a lot of weird like slapstick going on.
It really is. And, you know, I didn't actually realize this until when they were talking about it, that it has that very late 70s, early 80s, like British slapstick comedy vibe.
But yeah, those movies aren't good. But the one thing I did really appreciate about was it really gave me an appreciation for Christopher Reeve's performance.
Oh,
he was really good.
He's very, very good in those movies.
He's very good very good as Superman.
Yeah, he is. I mean,
and everybody.
He's great as Clark Kent.
Yeah,
he's really, really good. And it's kind of one of those things that it's one of those landmark performances of a superhero.
Yeah, he's the definitive one.
He really is.
I mean, it's not saying like Brandon Routh. They tried with Brandon Routh.
And he was good.
And he was fine. And
from Cavill what I remember, I haven't seen it in a while. But what I remember, he was fine.
Yeah.
Henry Cavill's fine. But Henry Cavill's one of those, like, there's no difference. And I don't really remember Brandon Routh that well. But there's no difference between when Henry Cavill is Clark Kent.
Yeah.
I mean, for the 3 seconds you see him with glasses on.
Yeah.
And as Superman. There's, like, literally no fucking difference.
Yeah, there's no difference.
But that's not true with Reeve.
I think they tried that with Routh. I think they really tried to kind of get that vibe with him, from what I remember. Yeah, I mean, Christopher Reeve has just got that charm.
He does. Him.
And, you know, it just, you know, it comes off, especially in those first two movies, you know. But yeah, he's really young, and definitely in three as well. But I mean, I was just thinking about like what we would have had if we ever got a Beavis in the '80s with Michael Keaton and Christopher Reeve together. Because Michael Keaton, I think Michael Keaton's Batman.
Looking back, because I remember when I was younger, I was kind of like, well, because I didn't really like him as Bruce Wayne.
Okay.
Just because I didn't feel that he physically fit the part of what I expected.
He doesn't.
But revisiting it now, you know, when I'm older and I can really appreciate it, he is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very, very good.
Mike Keaton's just
Great
actor.
Yeah, he's a great actor. And he's really good as Bruce Wayne and as Batman. And I don't really know what that movie would look like, though, with the two of them.
It would be weird.
I think it'd be weird, right? It'd be
weird because Christopher Reeve would just be the nervousy Clark. Because it's like those two movies, like, because, well, granted, now Quest for Peace came out 2 years before Batman 89.
Right.
But it feels like it was a completely different era.
Oh, absolutely. You're right.
Yeah. It's like, because granted, also canon movie versus big box office Tim Burton film.
Sure.
You know,
and I think there is something to be said about especially all of those Superman movies, even though all the Reeve ones, even though they finish in the 80s, they to me feel like late 70s movies.
Yeah.
Every one of them, even the ones that are, you know, 87 or whatever when it's released. It still feels to me that it should have been released in, you know, 1979.
Yeah, it still feels like a relic.
It really does.
Of a different time.
It really does.
But
it's weird.
Yeah, so I think that would be, I feel like had Christopher Reeve, I mean, granted, they probably, they had a shot to do it because it wasn't like Christopher Reeve.
There was a script apparently for Superman 5.
Yeah.
But everything fell apart. I mean, it just like the movie itself, like the funding dropped out. Christopher Reeve wasn't interested and it kind of just like, you know, went into wherever scripts go to die. And that was the end of that.
Development hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like had he not been injured,
yeah,
been paralyzed, Christopher Reeve would have been a great callback.
Well, he still was
performer. I mean, where he wasn't, I mean, I'm saying, but it adds like a, you know, as a more of a physical presence.
Sure.
You know, like, I mean, yeah, I know he was in Smallville.
He was in Smallville. Yeah. You know? He showed up in Smallville as a professor. I think it was his last performance. Was it? There's one in Smallville, I think.
Yeah.
Before he passed.
It's pretty tragic, though, because, you know, he was just watching him do his thing. I was like, man, he's pretty good.
I mean, it's definitely tragic what happened to him, for sure. But at the same time, like, looking at all the work he did after he was injured.
Yeah.
To, you know, further stem cell research and, you know, be an advocate for causes for people with disabilities. Like, he did a lot of good. He did a lot of work. And it's kind of, because I was reading the Wikipedia on him and I can't remember, there's some quote somewhere and it's just like, he did more to like fund and, you know, progress the cause of stem cell research than anybody before or since.
Yeah.
Cause he was always like speaking and raising money and, you know, all that sort of stuff, trying to, you know, do such stem cell research. And he was serving on boards for, you know, places where people who had undergone traumatic injuries like he had would go to like rehabilitate after, you know, their accidents and stuff. And he did a lot of good work.
Also, too, something about Christopher Reeve, you forget how big of a dude he is.
Mm-hmm. He was 6'4".
Tall. He was a tall really piece tall of ham.
Guy. Slender, 6'4".
Nice. Yeah. He had a great, I mean, because I feel like, I mean, the costume, I mean, there probably was some adjustments in there somehow, but he had a pretty good build for Superman.
He's not like super buff.
Well, he's not super buff. I mean, he's not.
But actually kind of, I don't know. It's almost like you want that a little bit more.
With him being not as buff?
Yeah, you just kind of, because he just looks like an average guy when he's Clark Kent. When he's Henry Cavill and he puts on a suit, he still looks like, you know, he could fucking crush a door with his shoulders. But he's goddamn huge.
But the thing is like,
he's not as tall, but he's wide.
But Christopher Reeve, even as Clark Kent, you could just tell that he's a big dude.
Yeah.
But he kind of portrays that character so well as a meekish individual that he, you know, and he, it just, there was a point where like,
he fits in so well with that like goofy, gawky farm boy.
Yeah. But it was also the thing where he had a, there was a scene where I could have sworn I saw him like do like a bit of a slouch.
Yeah, he does.
You know, and
there just, is a part
and kind of like
come out of it
for a second.
Yes.
You know, when somebody wasn't paid whatever, but
there's a part where he's in Lois's apartment.
Maybe it was that. Yeah.
I think it's in the first one where she says something to him and I don't remember what it is. And then she turns around and leaves the room and that you see him straighten up and like smile like, haha, look at this game I'm fucking playing. That's exactly what he's doing. But you see him like straighten up and smile and you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like that's when you really are clued into his performance there.
Yeah. No, he was a badass.
Yeah.
I was actually just also about to think of, do you remember the Super Bowl commercial he was in after he was injured that they did where it was, I can't remember the premise. I feel like it was like Bill Clinton. It was, I think it was after 2000.
Okay.
Because it was about this thing, I think, cause I feel like I remember for some reason, I remember Bill Clinton being involved, but it was like, this is obviously before he died, before Christopher Reeve died, but that they were like, oh yeah, he can walk, you know, we're going to find ways to get him, you know, we're going to find ways for people that are quadriplegic to walk again. And they show for the time a very terrifying CGI Christopher Reeve walking out, and his face, like Christopher Reeve's face is superimposed on this body, on this walking body. And I remember people being very disturbed by it.
Well, I don't remember.
Because it's very disturbing. I gotta look it up. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, no, I don't remember that at all. But I mean, like, when I was reading that Wikipedia, he was working with somebody who was, like, developing this basically like an exoskeleton thing.
Maybe it was something like that.
It stimulates the muscles, mm-hmm. so it would help people, quadriplegic people, exercise so their muscles didn't atrophy.
Yeah.
And so I guess he was, like, you know, like a guinea pig for that. He was using it.
Why come we don't have those yet?
I don't know if it worked. I mean, maybe you do. Maybe they have them in rehab centers.
It's 2020.
I know, but I think they're really expensive. So maybe have them at rehab centers and stuff.
Well, let's get them fucking out. Let's get them on the street.
I don't think.
Want exoskeletons.
I don't think you could actually walk around in it. You know, it was one of those things where it kind of like.
It's not really an exoskeleton. It's just a exercise machine.
Well, basically, it's an exercise machine, but it helps people so their muscles don't atrophy.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. But I want an exoskeleton. I want it for casual use.
What are you going to do with it?
I don't know. Be stronger. wear clothes over it and have somebody try to, you know, go into like a mosh pit and maybe like fucking tear shit up. But then it'll probably be other people with exoskeletons in the mosh pit. And it'll just be a fucking exoskeleton fight.
You know what it'd be like? It'd be like one of those demolition derbies. But instead of like shitty cars, it's just like you and an exoskeleton with other new metal dudes.
Yeah.
Just slamming around, screaming, scratch that figure itch.
Yeah, fucking at the El Nino reunion show. I'm out there. 45-year-old Sean is out there in his exoskeleton trying to fucking...
Hitting other dudes in exoskeleton.
2025 was a great year for the world.
It
better be the fucking best.
2021 better be the best, but I don't hold much hope for that.
Yeah, well,
we're still going to be in pandemic land.
Yeah, I don't like pandemic.
Woo, pandemic. We're living through a fucking pandemic. How ridiculous is this? I mean, we're not the first people in history, let's be honest.
But it also just feels...
In the now.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, what else was there? Don't really have much.
We watched
else.
Lovecraft Country County.
Lovecraft County. That's right. We watched that.
That was good. I mean,
it was good.
I'm interested in it.
I'll give it the next episode.
I never read the book, so I have no expectations going into this.
I'll give the next episode a whirl and see how it goes.
Yeah.
It's produced by like J.J. Abrams and what's his face? Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because the first episode doesn't you kind of have to wait towards the end to get to
the Monstars,
which you think's gonna what you think you're coming for.
Yeah. Monstars.
But now we're kind of in it, you know, with the next episode. So we'll see how it goes.
I'm actually very excited for the cult documentary that they're going to have on.
Yeah.
The Nixium documentary.
Well, because it's connected to.
There is a Superman connection. Yeah, because Allison Mack, who played Chloe in Smallville, was like a real big part of that fucking cult and was recruiting all of these women to be like her sex slaves with like, what's his name? Keith Raniere, I think his name is.
Uh-huh.
They're both in jail now.
Yeah, I'm also blanking on something I watched that had there was something that had like, oh, Tragedy Girls.
Oh, that's right. We watched Tragedy Girls.
We watched Tragedy Girls, which is a movie that came
out.
It's
on Hulu.
It's a couple years old, and it's one of those. The premise is good.
Yeah.
I feel like it didn't really execute.
No, I would agree with that.
I feel like
trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there were some really good parts.
Yeah, basically it's about these two teenage girls that are really into murder and death, and they try to like, you know, try to get over on social media because of that. And they capture a killer, I guess to mentor them, but that doesn't actually happen.
No.
And then they actually go around and like kill a bunch of other people and then they get away with it. The end, you know. But the comic book connection is that the two leads are one girl plays Negasonic Teenage Warhead and Deadpool, and then the other girl plays Storm in the the newer
yeah.
X-Men movies. And, you know, so yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It was good. I'm trying to think of something else I watched, but well, I watched a bunch more like Marvel cartoons as well.
Yes.
I've been watching more. I finished up on Fantastic Four and I started watching more Iron Man. You know, I'm already into like the second season of it where they changed the animation up a bit. And Tony, for some reason, just has the most
the hair
wicked mullet
on Tony Stark. It's offensive.
It is offensive.
It's offensive hair. You're just like, what is this?
Well, first of all, Tony Stark's a millionaire.
A billionaire. He could afford better hair.
He has afforded better hair. I don't know why they decided that in this cartoon that he needs fucking Yager mullet.
Yeah.
It's
like Balky. He looks like Balky.
He does look like Balky.
From Perfect Strangers.
Yeah. It kind of runs into the same thing a little bit what the Fantastic Four cartoon does, where it doesn't really have much in terms of
character development.
Well, not so much character development, but also like conflicts, like really good conflicts, because usually you're just relying on like the same like 10 dudes.
Yeah.
You know, and granted, I know there's a lot of with these cartoons, there's always a lot of issues with trying to get like rights.
Right. And they don't want you to use so and so.
Yeah. And Iron Man 2 doesn't have. Yeah, he's not really known for having villains like super like he's got villains, but they're not like they never feel like super heavy hitters. Like
the A team.
Yeah, I mean, there are guys like, obviously, the Mandarin.
Sure.
Crimson Dynamo and MODOK or whatever. At least in this book, you know, or in this series, MODOK is a big deal. But there's...
Wish they would have brought in MODAM.
MODAM would have been... Actually, it would have been great to just all of a sudden have a MODAM episode.
I gotta find the continuation of Lady Maul. I just want it so bad.
They didn't really. I think that would have been like too much for the kids in 1995.
Bro, well, yeah.
I think, but yeah, no, but it. But you know,
fuck them kids.
I'm gonna finish watching it. You know, I dig. You know, I just dig Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably move on to the X-Men stuff and see how that goes.
I'd like to watch that X-Men stuff again.
Yeah, we'll have to watch it. We started like maybe one or two episodes.
Yeah,
I feel like we should be talking about those like on the show. We should do like a commentary or something.
Sure.
Speaking of video content, you can see on Facebook me opening up action figures. I did a few of them over the past couple of days, and those are up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/worst collection ever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I think we'll take a quick break and we'll come back with our book for this week.
You've heard the myths and sagas. You've read the comics. You've seen the films. Now you can experience the adventures of Thor, Hercules, and more in a completely new way.
Ere the battle be resolved, let the Thunder God prevail!
Thor will crumble under my power, the power of Loki.
I am the will and the way. I am Allfather, and none shall say me nay.
Donald Blake, have you forgotten that we have a dinner date tonight?
Join me, Tom Harris, almost every Thursday for Radio Free Asgard. Every episode, we take a look at a new chapter in the lives of your favorite mythological heroes, from the Iron Age of Europe through the Bronze Age of comics, the Marvel movies, and beyond. All that, and silly voices, too. Come join us at Radio Free Asgard.
All right, we're back here in Worst Collection Ever with our book for this week. It is Wildcats Annual 2000 from December 2000.
I didn't realize this was an annual.
Yeah, it's weird because it's listed as Wildcats 2000.
Mm-hmm.
The book itself, but it's not. It's just another series of Wildcats.
Okay.
And also this one is spelled like it doesn't have the weird stylizing that Wildcats usually does,
right?
With the, like, for some reason, the acronym at the CAT,
right.
But this is also around the time where Wildstorm, the Jim Lee imprint that he started with Image, was acquired by DC. So this is technically a DC book, but it's not. Okay. But it's not like in the DC universe yet,
right?
Because it kind of, it, you know, it wasn't actually until the New 52.
Oh, okay.
That they started doing stuff like that, which I thought, I didn't realize that the Wildstorm, like Jim Lee and all that, like that happened so much earlier on. Like I thought that was like a more of like a 2009.
Sure.
Whatever. I thought that was like, I didn't realize it was that far ago because of, I guess like, because like in Image, like it used to be a part of like the Image universe and everything. And then they just broke that off. In this case, we're in this like Wildcats. I think it's like, I forget what it's supposed to be volume one, maybe volume two or something. But this is, but it's just for some reason they just called this Wildstorm 2000 or Annual 2000. Like that's the series, which is weird. On the cover here, we have
Frankenstein.
Yes, Frankenstein. well, we have, I'm just going to call him Grifter because that's who it is. Grifter on the cover here. And he is not wearing his getup. He's just dressed like Owen Wilson. And he's outside of a bar about to have a smoke. And behind him is Frankenstein. Or his brother.
Frankenstein?
Grifter's brother is known as Condition Red.
Okay.
That's his gimmick name. But he is dead here. So he's standing behind Grifter. Grifter doesn't know. And he's standing behind him with guns. So
guns.
We start off in New York City.
He really looks like Frankenstein.
He does look like Frankenstein. Yeah.
Okay. I just want.
Hey, you're not wrong. I'm not doubting.
I'm not making shit up. This dude, especially in the these early panels, he really looks like Frankenstein.
We start off in New York City. I believe this is Warblade because they go by like their shoot names most of the time. I'm just going to call them by their gimmick names. So Warblade.
That makes no sense.
Or no, wait, this is actually, no, this is his brother. He's having a dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize this. So the story is called.
Talk about Frankenstein.
Oh, see, I thought, for some reason, I thought this was something else.
No. He's dreaming about his brother. His brother, who he wakes up and sees standing at the end of his bed, and who is then gone, literally looks like Frankenstein.
No, he does look like Frankenstein here.
Yeah.
He's got flies and everything.
It's gross.
And the story's called Condition Dead, which I like. And then at one point, Condition Red is like, man looks into abyss, blah, blah, blah. Ever been dead, bro?
Yeah. There's a lot of like, it's extreme.
Well, it's the Wildstorm universe. And,
yeah,
it's. You know, you can't. You have to. Shit. 2000. We're looking at Cottonmouth Kings. The fucking Cottonmouth Kings.
There is an ad.
You want to buy a Cottonmouth Kings record?
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
I never got into them. They're not for me. There's a billion people in that band.
But there's a lot of people in this band, and they all look like John Cena from 2003.
They do. Everybody's got a backwards fucking hat on. It's,
well, this is one
they
guy.
They either look like John Cena or Fred Durst.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
They just call it John Cena and Fred Durst, the band.
Yeah, that's kind of it.
Durst's. So we jump a week later and we join
Durst's.
The lady of this book. Her name is like Maxine Manchester, but yeah. She goes by Ladytron.
Am I assuming she's British? Because she's like kind of punk and her last name is Manchester.
I don't know if she's entirely British.
Got on my last nerve by the end of this.
Yeah, she's
because she does nothing but like yell and like act in ways that no one would act.
Well,
because she's a cyborg.
Yeah, she's a cyborg.
But it's ridiculous. Like she's always angry and like kicking things, and I'm like, hey, maybe it's a one note performance.
Yeah,
let's go with that.
If you've ever seen Ladytron, she's got a fucking mohawk, and
it is. It's a cool look.
And she's got.
Got a metal jaw.
She got a metal jaw, like trap jaw.
She's wearing a fucking leather jacket. She's got patches on the back of it.
Yeah, she's wearing shirts with bands
but
on them.
I'm assuming that all of her is a cyborg except for like from her upper lip up.
Maybe. I think there's
because every like her
she's
legs
mostly cyborg, but
her legs and like you can see like her midsection is cyborg, yeah. Like is all metal and stuff. And
yeah. I think she's primarily cyborg.
Yeah.
So she's in a bar at some in L.A. somehow. Somewhere in L.A. beating up zombies, like actual zombies. Like she's punching one and like the eyeballs are coming out.
Yeah.
We got what's his face? Jake. I forgot his first name, but it's Spartan. Spartan's the guy. So Spartan used to be like the leader of the group.
Uh-huh.
And now he took over because his brother Jacob Marlowe was like this little person who like kind of ran the group behind the scenes.
Uh-huh.
And apparently he's dead. So
sure.
Spartan took over.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess somebody's calling to kind of rat out Lady Tron for beating up zombies in a bar. So
right.
And so he gets Void.
Yes, Void.
Void the...
Which is like a hologram messenger?
Yeah, she's like...
If Siri had a body?
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's kind of what it is. She's like an embodiment of Siri, just like a silver suited woman.
Yeah.
And, that's right. Yeah, I just noticed her jacket. She's got a refused jacket on.
Yeah, I was very excited that she's called Void.
Why? Because we call the cat the Void.
Because I call, Luna, our little black cat... I call her a void because when she sits on, like, if it's dark and she sits on, like, our chairs are black, you can't see her.
Yeah.
You can't see her at all. And then she just, like, materializes out of the void when she moves. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty weird.
It is weird.
So she shows up and she's like, hey, Spartan is like, why don't you stop being a dipshit? So he's just going to transport you to New York, whatever face.
Yeah, there's a lot of people getting transported in this book.
Yeah.
Is he transported to New York or is he transported to L.A.? Lady Tron.
Lady Tron's in L.A.
Oh,
he
yes.
transports her to New York, I think.
Okay, that's how that happened because I was like, I thought she was in L.A. and I was really confused.
You can also tell this is a 2000 book because Todd Green!
He was a guest on Canada's Drag Race the other day.
Was he?
Yes.
Tom Green.
Tom Green. I mean, he is a Canadian icon.
He was hot shit.
He was the biggest shit. You know what? He was very funny on Drag. He was a judge. He had no fucking idea what he was doing or why he was there. And he just leaned into it. He was very good.
There's things that I never cared much for the Tom Green show.
I remember watching it. I don't know if I loved it.
Yeah.
I feel like I thought he was more of an idiot than anything else.
The only thing I liked him in was Road Trip. That's a dumb movie.
Yeah.
But it's also a very 2000s thing.
Yeah.
But now we jumped to New York. I think we're back in New York here.
I found it hard to keep track of where the fuck I was.
Actually, I don't even know if we're in New York.
The fuck I am.
I think they're in New York because we're at Grifter. Now, Grant, you also, too, I want to point out everything in this book.
Same color?
Same color. It's like this sepia / purplish VARP.
Yeah.
Color.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Like, the only thing that's actually color is, like, the cover.
Yeah.
A little bit. But
it's really kind of glop.
It's kind of hard to look at.
It is a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So, we're hanging out with Warblade and Grifter, and they're catching up. And,
they're at a bar.
What's her face?
Lady Tron's
there, and they're like, oh, God, hope she doesn't see us. And, you know, she sees them because she's, like, trying to get booze.
Yeah.
I think they're also...
But she, like, she's talking to the bartender, and he wants her to, like, pay her tab, and she refuses to do so.
Yeah.
So she is, like, screaming and yelling and threatening this bartender, and that's when she sees them sitting at the bar, and she's like, hey... I guess his name is Cash, because I thought at first she was asking him for cash.
No. His name is... Grifter's shoot name is Cole Cash.
Yeah, that's a stupid name.
And his brother, his shoot name is Max Cash.
That's a stupid name.
All of those names
are dumb.
Yeah, that's dumb.
I mean, not like... If they were real names, it's fine. But they're such comic booky names.
Max Power.
Pretty much. This is the Max Power. Max Power. The name you'd love to touch.
So.
Max Power.
She. First, I think they're in a cyborg bar. Because later we have a cyborg bar fight. But I think we're in this bar.
Well, first we have a cyborg arm wrestling match. She rips a dude's arm off.
Well, yeah, that's later.
We'll get there.
That's later. But yeah, we're in a cyborg bar. Although, except for this bartender who kind of looks like Hal Jordan. Oh, she brought a puff.
It's by your foot.
I guess they were looking... Where are they now here?
Where are we?
After they leave the bar. Did they go to her brother's?
Yeah, because he's like, I saw him. I know he's here. And then they go to his brother's place and they're like, no, they go to his place?
Maybe.
Maybe he lived with his brother.
Oh, maybe.
They go to their place. They go to an apartment somewhere and nobody's there. Everybody's screaming at each other.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody's there. They're all trying to figure out what the hell's going on because I guess they're trying to figure out what's up with his brother, Operation Red.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess at some point, Lady Tron had a thing for Operation Red.
Yeah, they had like a thing.
They had a thing going on.
Is this where they go to the graveyard?
No, not yet. We're hanging out with Spartan and
who's Rifter. An android, apparently.
Well, so Spartan, yeah, Spartan is an android as well.
No, he's not a cyborg. He's an android.
He's an android. Everybody's a fucking robot.
Sure.
They're all robots.
Robot.
And he's like, hey, man.
It's me, a robot.
You know, why you dropping off this dumb cyborg with me? I don't need her with me. Trying to figure out what's going on with my dead brother. And then we go to the graveyard.
Okay, now so they go to the graveyard to make sure he's actually, like, buried, basically. And they rip off the marker because he's, like, buried in, like, a mausoleum or whatever.
Bruce Wayne's there looking in the mausoleum. Yeah, bats are coming out of it.
Yeah, Bruce Wayne's very sad.
Is that Ben Affleck?
but his body is not there.
Body's not there. And then Void shows up and she's like, hey, I got some like intel about your dead brother.
Yeah.
And she's like, he killed this woman named Olympia, who was like,
like multiple gunshot wounds in this body or whatever.
Yeah. And like Olympia was like, I think it was associate of the Wildcats somehow.
Sure.
So yeah. And she, I think she, okay. So like there was a alien. Okay, I read about this. There was like an alien or some sort of I don't know. Somebody killed Operation Red. That person was imprisoned. This Olympia lady, Olympia Dukakis, took it upon herself to kill that person.
Olympia Dukakis is dead, right?
I don't know. I only know two movies of Olympia Dukakis. No, three: Moonstruck, Fried Green Tomatoes. And
Olympia Dukakis died in 20. No, she's still alive. She's 89.
Wiley, that's actually a lot younger. Well, maybe not.
She's been in stuff recently.
Everybody lives.
She's been in stuff recently. Yeah.
So she's not in this book.
No, she's not. What the hell?
So Olympia Dukakis killed the person that killed Operation Red, and Operation Red came back to life, and he was like, well, I need to seek vengeance, and you killed the person that killed me, so I'm going to kill you. And that's where we're at. Yeah, this is where we go back to the cyborg bar, which is called the Mars Bar.
Mars Bar?
Mars Bar.
Like the candy bar?
Yes. Bastards. It's a bar where you go and drink and have nougat.
I'd like to do that.
Nougat and caramel. What is in a Mars Bar? I feel like a Mars Bar is kind of like the same as like a Snickers.
Like I almost feel like it's more like a Milky Way.
I feel like it's in between because Milky Way is just like fluffy nougat.
Well, it's just the nougat and then there's caramel. And the like Three Musketeers is just the nougat.
Yes.
So Three Musketeers, nougat, Milky Way, nougat plus caramel, Snickers, nougat, nuts and caramel. But I don't know what the difference is between all of those things in a Mars bar.
What is it? Because I feel like a Mars bar has nuts.
Maybe.
It has some sort of like almonds in it.
I don't remember. I know Almond Joys do. No, Almond Joys have nuts. Mounds don't.
Mounds don't.
Mounds don't. That was the whole thing. I don't know.
Welcome to Candy Talk. Welcome to Candy
Somebody
Bars.
Somebody tell me what a Mars bar is. Jesus, I don't even know. I know I've had one.
I know. It's like I've had one.
I'm going to Google Mars bar.
Yeah, you look up the Mars bar.
This is important, guys.
These are things. These are cliffhangers. That's what we provide here. We provide logical cliffhangers here on Worst Collection Ever. Anyway, so we're in the Mars Bar, which is also a cyborg bar, and there's a lot of weird looking cyborgs in here.
Okay.
I kind of like, what is it?
Made of milk chocolate, nougat, and toasted almonds.
See, I knew there was.
So there are nuts in it because Snickers has like peanuts.
Snickers has peanuts.
Mars has
is the almonds.
However, in 2002, it vanished.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think you can get a Mars bar anymore.
Apparently they're back. Oh, they're 2017.
Why are you getting rid of it?
I don't know.
Is candy? I mean, well, I guess it's kind of like
you've seen the candy my dad eats. He eats the candy. Like if you were going to like write a movie about a child from the 1930s eating candy, you would just look at what my father eats. And it'd be like root beer barrels and fucking Nonpareils and
Necco wafers.
Necco wafers. Oh, my God. He loves Necco wafers. He was so upset when that whole like factory thing went down. Okay. Necco wafers, Good 'n Plenty's.
Good 'n Plenty's. No, thank you.
Yeah.
What is wrong?
Yeah.
Does he like Charleston Chews?
Oh, my God. My dad loves Charleston Chews. Actually.
How are his teeth not just destroyed.
Well, he did break one on an Almond Roca once.
Well.
He likes, so if you buy Charleston shoes, because the only time we could get them out here was on Halloween. Sometimes you get the little tiny ones.
Yeah.
And he'd put them in the freezer.
Okay.
And they're actually good frozen.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then you just kind of suck on them and they're delicious.
Somebody.
You know those Dots?
Yeah.
Tootsie Rolls. Oh my God, my dad loves Tootsie Rolls.
Does your dad like the
Boston baked beans? But also, you know, like the paper dots.
Does he like the paper dots?
Oh my God. Yeah, my dad used to buy that for us all. That?
Is your dad the premise of that Pete Holmes joke about adult people eating candy?
I don't remember this joke.
You remember
but
the
probably.
Joke where he's talking about it's like how he was on a plane. And
he was probably on a plane with my fucking dad. Yeah.
Well, he was on a plane sitting next to like an older woman, and an older woman they landed successfully, and the woman's like, oh, something to celebrate. And she had like a fireball or something.
Oh, I love a fireball.
Right. Though. So he was like, how weird is that? You know, like you can imagine like people sitting around, you know, having like adult conversations, and he's kind of mimicking like this conversation and talking about like marriage and divorce or whatever. And it's just a guy eating like the Dippin' Sticks, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, he doesn't like Dippin' Sticks.
But he also, so he's like, oh, Ring Pops. You're like, all right.
Yeah, not a Ring Pop guy.
Well, I can't imagine your dad.
Do you remember Sugar Daddies?
Yes.
My dad loves a Sugar Daddy.
Well, Sugar Daddies was like basically just the caramel on a stick.
Yeah.
Because Sugar Babies
were like the little beans.
Were like the small ones.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised by any of this.
You've seen how my father
there
eats.
There was something that.
Fluff. He loves fucking marshmallow fluff, and it can't be marshmallow cream. It has to be the fluff that they make in Massachusetts.
I can't deal with that. I can't. Like, I go to your parents' house, I look at the pantry, and I'm just like,
it's
hey,
all my dad.
What would be a healthy stack?
It's all my dad.
It's just.
Because my mom doesn't eat any of that shit. It's just all my dad. Literally, when I was a kid, we would have dinner, and my dad would disappear after dinner. And I go, where'd dad go? I almost went, I don't know. I think he took the car. And he would come back with a whole fucking grocery bag just full of like he would go to the store, buy like literally full, like those big ass Hershey bars.
Yeah.
Hershey's chocolate is gross, but he would buy like the big plain Hershey bars, fucking Hostess cupcakes, Twinkies. And how my dad is like a regular weight man is beyond me. He should be 800 pounds and like diabetic, but no,
because
he eats like a child.
I'm jealous.
To this day, my dad is 76 years old and he still eats like that.
I think I'm jealous of that aspect of him.
Fucking ice cream.
Yeah, I know. I can't. I don't get it.
Sundays.
Your dad loves like hardcore. Like that's the thing.
You'd be
sitting around your dad like, who wants a Sunday? I'm like, the fuck. I can't handle that.
I know. I'm like,
I can barely handle eating a zucchini bread or something.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's got vegetables in it, but it's also bread that's sweet. And I love zucchini bread.
I know, but you really hate zucchini.
Yes, true. Anyways, let's get off to candy.
Oh, yep, sorry. We have to actually talk about
This dreary book where cyborgs are in a bar.
Mm.
A cyborg walks into a bar and has an arm wrestling contest.
This is actually great. She sits down with another cyborg.
Yeah, Ladytron, yeah.
And she's having a wrestling an arm wrestling contest, and she rips this motherfucker's arm right off.
Yeah.
Which is kind of great. And so it's like her looking at all these other cyborgs, and she's like, all right, who wants some, right? And while all that's going on, what's-his-face is in the alley?
Well, Grifter walks out of the alley, as that's going on, Ladytron's about to get into like a big brawl, and Warblade's like, look, I'll handle this. You go out for, he's like, I'm gonna go out and get a smoke.
Yeah.
You know, what's his face? Grifter's go get a smoke. And Warblade, you know, does his Warblade thing, but you don't see any of it for some reason. Grifter's out having a smoke. And he turns around, and it's his zombie brother.
Yeah, there he is. It's like, hello, it's me, zombie brother.
Zombie brother, and by the way, Warblade. Just for Warblade can change his arms and stuff into like knives. He's basically like a fucking 11, like 10-year-old kid created a superhero, and he's like, his arms are knives. That's it. But Jim Lee created this.
I thought he had, like, wings. At first, I thought he was Archangel because he had, like, all these, like, crazy wings.
Yeah. So we're having a Mexican standoff between Grifter and Condition Red. Uh-huh. And he's like, hey, man, we know you killed that woman. He's like, yeah, well, I was going to kill somebody else. I was going to kill the person that killed me, but she killed the person before me.
Right.
So hoo-ha.
Is this where he, like, opens fire on him?
Well, he's
not the dead brother, the other brother, because they're, like, holding guns at each other. And then he's like, yeah, they have this talk about, like, how the dead brother killed that lady. And then the other brother just, like, opens fire on him and turns him into basically hamburger.
Yeah, Grifter's, like, talking about being, like, because they're talking about having consciousness, and Red said, like, I don't have a conscience. I'm going to shoot up your other friends. And he's like, fuck this. And he just shoots, Grifter shoots his zombie brother into mulch. Well, he shoots him once and then, like, it doesn't do the jobs. And then he just does it more because then, like, what's his face? Red's like, yeah, fucking do me out. And then we get our friends, the Ripclaw or Warblade. And
Ripclaw.
Ripclaw's another character. Excuse me. I got my extreme image characters mixed up.
Ripclaw.
Ladytron and Warblade come around the corner and they're like, ah, looks like you found your brother.
Oh my god, meat.
Yeah. Oh man, look. Meat.
Meat.
Yeah, and that's pretty much just how it ends. Grifter just walks off.
That's why I was like, I was not aware this was an annual because it's so not like most annuals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like an annual where like there's different stories and there's pinups. At least that's how they used to do annuals.
Yeah.
I feel like annuals are they don't really do them as much anymore.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But like back in like the 80s and the early 90s, like they did annuals and annuals are fucking rad. Like I have this one Captain America annual that just has like a bunch of cool stories in it, you know, from like 93 or whatever, and it's 94 or whatever, and it's just fun.
Yeah,
and sometimes that's what they would do. And you, or sometimes you would have like a story going on throughout the annuals and they would just kind of bridge them over into different books or whatever. Obviously, Eclipso, you know, that story and everything. So
right.
The Subterranean Wars. But, speaking of crossovers, apparently this is a Devil's Night crossover, which is going on throughout the other annuals.
Devil's Night, new favorite holiday. Sorry.
Because it's going on in the Gen 13 annual, the Authority annual, and the just simply called the Wildstorm annual. Because there was there's a monster or something, or somebody named Golgotha.
Okay.
Golgotha brought Grifter's brother back to life. Mm. So that's where that's kind of like the thread that's going on here. But that's how this ends. We don't have a letters page, but we do have an ad for Spawn. World broadcast premiere, October 29th, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, 2000.
Oh, man.
Which I thought Spawn, the movie came out must have came out in 99 then, I think.
It must have.
Because I think there was a soundtrack and it had like Korn on it. Yeah, I remember I didn't have that soundtrack because if I did.
I didn't have that one either, but I'm surprised.
Or maybe it came out in 90s. I don't know.
It might have come out in 98-ish.
But my favorite thing about this, the reason why I bring this up is, well, not only is there going to be a chat with Tom McFarlane on Superstation, TBS Superstation.com.
Spawn, August 1st, 1997.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that because I figured if it was a cable premiere.
Yeah.
Why is it on? Why does it take 3 years to get it out?
Well, it's cable.
True. But apparently this is the time where TBS's slogan was, it's a guy thing.
Oh, I remember that.
Because they would just show like dad movies all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and like shit with like, you know, sports and wrestling was still around at the time. So they still had some wrestling. Fuck your wholesome Andy Griffiths and your Little House on the Prairies. You can all eat a bowl of fuck, but TBS was a guy show, was a guy network.
Didn't they eventually turn to like try to do Spike TV, or was that something totally different?
Well, this probably was the time they were trying to do Spike or Pop or whatever the fuck it was.
Well, I know they did Spike.
Well, Spike
became Pop, I think.
No, Spike Pop became Spike.
I thought it was the other way around.
Because it was TNN.
Yeah.
It was the national network. Then it was the national network.
Uh-huh.
Then it was Pop.
Mm.
Then it was Spike.
Not something else.
Now it's Paramount.
Oh.
Paramount Network.
Oh.
And now I think that might have changed too. I don't know. but TBS apparently was trying to get on that vibe in the 2000s, and Spawn was going to be the big deal. You can watch your dad movies and your fishing shows. I only remember watching, like, most of my memories of TBS was always confusing to me that everything started 5 minutes after the hour. So it was like 6:05, 8:05.
I don't remember that at all.
Oh, yeah. That's the main thing I remember, because that's how, like, when you would watch wrestling.
Oh, well, watch wrestling.
I would watch, like, because NWA or WCW would be on there, and it always started, like, at 6:05 on Saturday nights, you know, and WCW Saturday night, and then they would show a movie on or like that. But that's it for this week's show. And that's it for Wildcats Annual 2000 from December 2000. What do you care about any of this?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I don't. You know, this is like...
I'm not a Wildcats fan. I've never been.
I feel like this is... Sorry to interrupt, but I feel like this is like a phase of the Wildcats where nobody really gave a shit. Like, it's... Because obviously its heyday was like years before this.
Yeah.
Like 93, 94, when they actually had a video game and
you
know, all that shit. And the cartoon.
Sure.
And things were actually in color. You know, they even had action figures and everything. It was all good.
Yeah.
You know, but I kind of wonder if it's worth looking into. I don't know. I've always, outside of like maybe like Savage Dragon, I've never really had a connection to like Image characters.
Yeah.
You know, I'd never been like, man, I'm going to just dive into all this Image stuff. I mean, Savage Dragon was probably the closest to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, Spawn, I never got into Youngblood or Stormwatch or whatever fucking hoo-ha shit they're doing. And this also, by the way, is the last for now and probably let's just call it the last of our quarantine comics.
Oh, man.
Because I picked this from the pile, and I was like, let's do one more. And I didn't like the DC ones that we had.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, this one looks like it could be fun, because there might be zombies in it. I thought it was like a horror comic, to be honest, just looking at the cover.
Because fucking Frankenstein's on
Frankenstein,
it.
Frankenstein, yeah. But, yeah, I figured we'd do it. And that'll be it. Next week, we'll get into some of our actual collection. And I'll have to go through it and pull some fresh hits. Maybe we'll have some fun with that, because I feel like, because look, I was gonna say we do the quarantine books until the quarantine, until we feel about right, but it's just too depressing.
Yeah, no, I feel we need to shake it up a little bit.
We need to shake it up. We've already gotten past, I think we've gotten through all the stuff that actually is worth doing.
Yeah,
as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
so we'll move on.
Yeah,
but that's it for this week's show. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Angry Hero Sean,
and I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. You can find the show on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever, and email the show, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
And please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. Tell your friends about us. All right, folks. Thanks for listening. Talk to you again next time.
Bye.